Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, when he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again, in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof, shall be an habitation of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, The Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, If ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so I have the chapter divided into a few sections, but really it's a very simple division in the main when we consider it, don't we? And when we consider it, we have the introduction to the chapter. This is the second vision that Jeremiah had received, and then we have the introduction to it in that the Lord says, "Now I'm going to speak to you about this city and about Jerusalem and Judah and the houses of the kings and all of that. You see the desolation around you. Now listen to me, and I'm going to tell you something very special, very edifying." And so then it turns in verse 6, "I will bring it health and cure." And the rest of the chapter simply unfolds how God will bring health and cure to Jerusalem, to Judah, and he says even to Israel. Okay? So the chapter is a comforting one. And may I say that, as we said back in chapter 30, that when the vision turns that Jeremiah is giving, it turns from some of the most difficult to read in all of Scripture to some of the most pleasant to read in all of Scripture. If you're looking for encouragement, you might not want to turn to the first few chapters of Jeremiah, but you might want to turn to the latter chapters of Jeremiah, especially in the 30s here, where we've been reading where the Lord confirms his covenant promise to Jerusalem, to Judah, and then also to Israel. It's an amazing thing, right? Israel had fallen some time before through idolatry, and yet the Lord includes them in the covenant promise. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at a few particulars. The Lord speaks comfortably to them. He says, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them. I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. The abundance of peace and truth. This is after the prophecy of Isaiah. So we know who the Prince of Peace is. That is indeed Messiah. And so even at this early stage in this vision of Jeremiah's, we have a reference to Messiah. The abundance of peace comes only through the Prince of Peace. And then truth, we remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says about himself, that he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, notice in verse 8, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And the Lord uses all three words there in the Hebrew, sin, iniquity, transgression, all of them. Whenever the Lord does that, what we're hearing from him is that this is a complete forgiveness. Hear the word of the Lord, beloved of the Lord. The Lord brings to his people through Christ a complete forgiveness. There isn't a sin that the Lord will not forgive, save the unpardonable sin, which is a persistent and constant rejection of the overtures of mercy in the Holy Ghost. That's it. No other sin can withhold God's mercies from his people. Iniquity, sin, transgression. The Lord rounds out that understanding and says, I'm going to have mercy on all of them, no matter the species of your sinning. So remember the completeness. I will pardon all their iniquity whereby they've sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquity whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. That is an absolute statement and meant to be taken absolutely. Sometimes the absolute statements of Scripture don't mean complete absolute, right? all Jerusalem was coming out to see John Baptist. Well, we know that what that means. 1 Timothy chapter 2, God would have all men to be saved. Well, in the context, we understand what that means. It's all kinds of men, but not every particular man. But here, because of the repetition and the structure, this is an absolute statement. Those who are in Christ will have all of their sins forgiven. All right, so then the Lord puts the deliverance of Jerusalem and Judea in terms that they will understand. There'll be joy, there'll be singing, there'll be the giving of the bridegroom and the bride. The sacrifice of praise will come back into the house of the Lord. Will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. And notice that the northern kingdom, if they are included in this, and I believe they are, that they are required then to turn away from the thing that brought them down. They must associate themselves to Jerusalem. And that's the point, right? It's no longer false worship. You don't get to come back and bring your sins with you. That's not what the restoration is about, in other words. It's about a true restoration. A restoration of my ways and my commandments, the Lord says. Okay, so this place right now is desolate, without man, without beast, in all the cities. But it shall be flocks and herds, and they shall pass under the hands of him that telleth them. In other words, the him that telleth them, whenever you brought your offering to the Lord, you would drive them down a chute, and every tenth one that belonged to the Lord, you're telling them, you're counting them. In other words, there's going to be a multiplicity of them. This is an abundance that the Lord is speaking about here. I will perform that good thing which I have promised, notice, to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah, both of them. But notice then in verse 15 where those promises are centered. They must be centered in Messiah. This isn't a simple restoration. This isn't a simple coming back to the land and it'll be like it was before. No, it is a restoration that is dependent upon Christ. Now, in this chapter and in the next chapter, we have this understanding, and we must be clear on this, that there are prophecies that are given during the days of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, the three great prophets, and then in the minor prophets, in the 12 also, more properly those that are pre-exilic, that are talking about restoration, that are talking about Jerusalem being built up again. And there are some scholars in the Old Testament, some fine Old Testament scholars, that are looking at these prophecies and saying these prophecies terminate upon the restoration under Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Ezra, and so on. Okay? May I say very clearly that that is not the fulfillment of these prophecies. That is a further type pointing to the fulfillment. The restoration is in Christ. The true restoration is in Christ. And that's what verse 15 tells us. In those days, you hear that? In those days, and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. This is the true Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all that we've read in the foregoing is prophetic language given in terms that the people of God would then understand of the days of Messiah when he will come and he will set up the true Jerusalem, the heavenly Zion, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12. And he will reign as a king, and he will do righteousness, and he will bring the abundance of peace. That's what we must understand here. And everything that leads up to that in the history of Israel, even the restoration, right, is indeed just a type of that which is the target of the prophecies. We don't have multiple fulfillments of the prophecy. We have an advancement of the typology until it is fulfilled. That's how we must understand it. All right, so David, verse 17, shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. What an amazing thing that the Lord would use the typology of that day to draw the priesthood and the monarchy of Christ together. And as they would not be able to understand something beyond a Levite doing priesthood, it is given in terms that they will understand. But when we get to the book of Hebrews, we understand that that high priesthood is not Levitical at all. It is of a different order, an eternal order. And that's why that same eternality is brought up here. Okay, so we have to understand that there is an accommodation in this language. It cannot be taken so very literally. If it is taken absolutely baldly, literally, then we're looking at the restoration under Christ of a new Jerusalem on earth, a new temple, a new Levitical priesthood, and new sacrifices. Let's make sure we understand how to interpret prophecy according as the Bible tells us how to interpret it. Okay, so then the Lord gives one more promise, and He repeats it. He doubles down on it. Actually, it's almost a tripling of it. He states it negatively and he states it positively. In other words, he's coming at it from every angle so that the people of God will be assured of his promise. If you can break my covenant with the sun and the moon and the day and the night, then will my covenant be broken with Israel. Can you do that? Can you stop the sun from rising tomorrow morning? Can you stop the moon and her rise? No, we can't do that. Then neither can you break the covenant of God with His people through Christ. This is the assurance that we have. It is according to God's sovereignty and according to His rule over the creation itself. As the Lord rules over creation, so also creation will bend to serve the dictates of redemption. And that's how the chapter ends. If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I've not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. People of God, rest in the promises of God. Rest in the mercy of God. And do not worry. And do not fret. And do not be anxious for the morrow. The morrow has enough trouble of its own, Jesus says. Rather, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 33.